glad you're here. So, happy 2025, a new year, right? Probably figured out that already started happening. And so, my question is based on Luke 2:52 in our sermon last week. So, how's your growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God going? You need a little crank here. Get me going here. I know I needed that on Thursday, coming back to work or whatever day it was, I guess. Yeah, Wednesday was New Year's Day. And Thursday, just having a hard time getting rolling again. So, but that's where we went to Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. And each of those areas in wisdom and the area of stature, what are we going to do physically to help ourselves out? And that having favor with God and with man, take some time. Take some time. Give yourself some goals, some thoughts. Maybe it's just that one word. Some of those were shared with me last week. Well, if one was three words. It was alive in 25. Like, that's close enough to one word, right? But that was one that was shared with me. Another was just favors. We talked about favor, that I want to have favor with God this year. I think that John 15 and abide would be a great word for this year. I want to abide. I want to remain in Christ. I want to be right there with Him and see His favor. Mine this year is going to be surrender. I love that in the goodness of God. I give you my life, and I want to surrender my life to you. And that means I got to surrender everything. Heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Love Him with your heart and your soul, your mind and your strength, to surrender each of those areas to Him so that He gets the glory and He does His work, and listening to the Holy Spirit and what He has for us. So write out some growth steps. They've been coming very slow for me this year. Probably need to just sit down and take a little bit more time. But write out some growth steps. What is it? What is it, God, that you want to do in my life? How do you want to minister to me? And how do I want to grow and minister to you? One of the things I saw in an article about prayer this past week, and you know that's a very, very important part of my life, was this, that if prayer is not just giving your list, and which I'm very good about. When I pray for you, I pray for all the things I think that you need. You may not know that, but things I see. But it was just to get to know God. Prayer is an opportunity to get to know God. And that would hit me. So that's one of my growth steps. God, as I pray this year, Lord, would you help me just to get to know you? Deeper relationship with you. So encourage you to that. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion as it's called. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you want to open up your Bible there, I'll give you kind of the context to talking about the love feast that's there. That word's not in there. The phrase is not in there, but that's what they were celebrating. This time to come together. They would share together a meal. And then they would have the Lord's Supper. They would celebrate the Lord's Supper as they finished up their meal. That's kind of the context of what's there. Now, I don't know if the Corinthian church was a church like ours. Many of them in those days were house churches. And obviously what they would do in having a meal together and then having the Lord's Supper together is a lot easier in a house church than it is with 250 people. Right? You know, to have a meal every week and to come together certainly can be done. But it's a little bit harder in our setting than what it is in the setting that probably they had, and maybe smaller churches and even house churches as they gathered together. So as we look at this passage, it's not really very easy to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges in how they handled the Lord's Supper, because we do it differently than they do. But what I've tried to do as I've looked through it is to try to bring out some of the principles that are there in the passage that we can take that will help us as the body of Christ here at Majestic Baptist Church. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, they're found right in front of you. If not, it's in your phone and tablet that you have there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read the passage and then we'll commence. 17, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you must be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. And about the other things, I'll give directions when I come. Lord, this is your word, your instruction to us. It's as you want it to us. It's applicable. It's the truth. And we want to apply it into our lives even today. Notice as he starts talking, Paul starts talking about the Lord's Supper and the love feast that they're taking in. He basically says this: your getting together is not good. Now imagine a pastor saying that. Gathering together with a group of people, believers, saying, your getting together is not good. I mean, every pastor wants you to come and to be here. And he says, what you're doing is not good. There are times when condemnation would be appropriate to a body, when gossip's taking place, when talk that doesn't bring honor to him is going about, when cursing's going around, immoral talk is going around, when immoral viewing is taking place. I remember years ago in the first youth group that I worked with, one evening, a number of people in the youth group got together and they watched an R-rated movie together. And it was inappropriate. And we confronted them. And I'll just be honest, there was nudity in it. And we went to one of them. One of the girls said back to me and said to us, said, they're just actresses. And I said, the boys don't think that way. That was the time when we had to say to them, what you're doing is not good. This is not right. And there are other times to be able to do that. But Paul says, what you're doing is not for the better, it's for the worse. What's taking place in your life? One of the reasons is because there's divisions in the church. He goes on to say that in verse, because when you come together, it's not best. Verse 18, for in the first place, when you come together to church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Let's call them cliques, okay? Now, cliques are not wrong. We all have a group of friends we like being with, based on common ground, based on maybe age. They're not wrong. Cliques are wrong when they become something we don't let somebody into our clique. Us four and no more. We really don't like you. There's something we don't like about you. We see, that's what he's talking about. Not that you have friendships. Of course you're going to have friendships in a church. That's important and valuable. But it's when we won't allow others or we won't open ourselves up so that people can come and be a part of our lives. Interesting. Paul had already dealt with that in chapter 3. Now, we look at it and go, well, they should have got it. Well, that's just in chapter 3. Remember, this is one letter to them. They read chapter 3, but probably hadn't a chance to apply it. He'd already talked about the divisions that are in the church. So to be careful. As we seek to honor the Lord, that when we honor him, kind of my main point, we honor him when we honor his family. And in the Lord's Supper, in this love feast, they weren't doing that. They were honoring some of the people they liked, but not the people that maybe they didn't like or prefer. Now, my guess is probably maybe when you come to church at Majestic, there might be some people you don't prefer either. Just something about them just doesn't, you know, rubs you the wrong way. Well, how are you going to allow them to be a part of your life? God calls us to each of them to be a part of each other's life. Sometimes we just need to get to know people before we'd make that judgment about them. Well, I don't like them, or I don't like how they respond, or I didn't like how they talked in Sunday school. Those things that take place. Paul says, it's not good. It's not good. You need to be together. Erase those divisions. He goes on in verses 20 and 22. He says, you're gathering, you're coming together to please yourself. We call that selfishness. That's why it appears you guys are coming together. You're coming because you're there to please yourself. He says basically to some of them, the only reason you're coming is you're coming to eat. You're not coming to be able to celebrate the Lord. You're not coming to be with one another. You're simply coming to eat because that's what they would do. They would bring their food. They'd have their meal. They would come together that way and be a part of their lives. They're not there to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to celebrate the Lord, to honor Him, to lift Him high. No, you're there because you simply want to eat. And he says in there, honestly, he says, you don't have any etiquette. You don't have any manners. Some of you just go ahead and go and eat. You don't care about the people around you. You just go and eat. You know, it's appropriate when you come to a meal that you would wait for others, right? It's not about being a pig in a trough. He said, you don't even honor that. You don't even care for one another enough to wait for others to have the opportunity to eat before you feed your face. Oh, and he doesn't have this in here, but it might be good for your pastor here at this church. You really should pray first. If you haven't been here, I have a hard time remembering to pray before my meals when I'm eating by myself. Matter of fact, this morning, I didn't pray before my meal this morning. And I have a little plaque on my table that says, pray first. It just hasn't got there. Oh, that would be a really good growth step for this year. That I'd get that down. That I'd pray before my meal. Maybe Paul could even say to this, hey guys, it's not a buffet. This isn't a buffet. All you can eat, rub-a-dub-dub, get some more grub, right? He's saying, this is important. This is who you are. We're together. We've come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, not to eat and be a part of our own world. And then he goes on in this passage. He says in verse 21, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. Can you imagine that? Here they are coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And he says, while you're here, people are getting drunk. Obviously, there's alcohol involved here. Wine probably was a part of their lives. I would recommend, personally, that you don't have alcohol as a part of your life. It's not wrong. It's dangerous. And I'd certainly recommend that when we do church things, there is no alcohol present. Honor God in that. Begin to drink. Says here, in the privacy of your home. Honor the Lord in that way. See, because he could have said to them, this is not a buffet, but he also could have said, it's not a bar. I'm having a little bit of fun there, okay? They're getting drunk, just like you would at a bar. And this is the Lord's Supper. This is the gathering, church gathering, that they're a part of. You're being selfish. You're not honoring one another. Even just the meal that you're taking place. But you're putting that above the Lord's Supper. Then he goes on. He says, as he finishes up kind of this first little section. He says, do you despise, this is the end of 22. Do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What's happening here is this. The people that got a lot of money, the people that got a little bit more food, they bring in their really nice little, you know, tray, and their basket, you know, little red riding hood basket, you know, with the food and everything else. They put it on there. They go ahead and eat. They eat their own food, and all takes place. And then you have poor people that are there that don't have the same. And these people are humiliating the poor by what they bring, what they eat, how they do it. And the poor are neglected. And they're not recognized. Why? Because they're poor. There's divisions in the church, and they don't personally like them. That's going on in this love feast, and all that God has to honor him. And this is what's taking place among them. They were taking advantage of one another. They weren't sharing. They're being selfish. There's no self-restraint. There's no waiting for each other. They're not providing for each other. Some were being neglected and going hungry, while others took advantage of the opportunity to gorge themselves and get drunk. I don't think that's the way the church is supposed to work. And Paul said, this isn't right. You see, when we're going to honor the Lord, we put it together with even the Lord's Supper. When we honor the Lord, we have to honor his family too. God's called us to do that. And they were not doing this. In 10:24, Paul says, he had written to them in the chapter 4, he says, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Peter reminds us in the same vein, he says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. They weren't doing that. Not in this setting. They weren't doing that. So when you come to Majestic, what's your purpose? What's my purpose when we come? Is it about the Lord and others, or is it about us? Where you sit? What if somebody takes your place? What's the thought that goes through your mind first? I understand. It happens. They're in my place. You may not say anything, but the thought goes through your head. They're in my place. So what? It's not your place. When you go to class, who you sit by? Well, you know, I really want to sit on this side because I really don't like that person. It happens. We're human. Let's not be like them. Let's not be like the Corinthians. I hope they kind of got it straightened out after Paul gave this kind of lecture to them, right? This is how we do. We honor the Lord when we honor his family. And Paul challenges them to that task. And I challenge us to this task. Every person's important to us. We want to bring out in them the Lord Jesus Christ, so they might follow him in a greater way, because maybe we've been a part of their life just for a short time. Okay, well, that's kind of the beginning. Second thought I came up with this. You honor the Lord when you honor his instructions. When you obey his instructions, because that's what he goes into in verse 23. He says, hey, I got some revelation from God. God has given something to me that I'm supposed to share with you. And this is, and he gives the illustration from the chapters that it's in, Matthew chapter 16, Mark chapter 14, Luke chapter 22, John chapter 13, as the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, is given to us. Jesus was obviously celebrating and expanding the Passover feast. It was instituted, as you know, when he came, Spirit came and passed over those who had the blood on the doorpost, those who didn't suffer the loss of life. Firstborn, suffered the loss. He's taking that and then he's expanding it to what is going to happen to him in the next hours. Imagine his presence being there. Imagine Jesus being there and he being the one that John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And they're thinking of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb that they're supposed to bring. And then Jesus is there, the fully perfect Lamb. That could take away the sin of the world. The Lamb could take the sin of the world, could cover up, could be the representation of it. But Jesus is there, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, but also the Savior. Think about that. Think about how Jesus brought all that together for them in his presence being there and being the Lamb of God. Think about the words, and this is what Paul tells us there now. Paul goes, these are the words, referring back to those in the Gospels of what he had shared together with him. Jesus' word and explaining the symbolism. This is my body, which is for you. And this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood. And then he says both times what? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Easy for us to get, but a little bit harder for them to have gotten at that time. What do you mean, do this in remembrance of me? You're right here. We see you. We understand as we look back now. Do this in remembrance of me. I've given my body for you. We celebrate that in the bread that we take. This is the blood of the new covenant. We celebrate that in the juice that we drink and in the few moments that we will take and be a part of our lives. You see, because he says, every time you do this, you proclaim my death until I come back. Look back. We look back. And Jesus understands. Paul says this. We look back to what he's done for us, but we also look forward. The first advent and the second advent. We don't need the candles to talk about advent, do we? The first advent, the second advent, and now we're in the in-between of the advents, right? We understand what he did. Now we're looking forward to when he comes. Even so, Lord, come today. Come quickly. Come, Jesus, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Revelation chapter 22. They're agreed. The church, the Spirit say, come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come even today. That's the first thing in Jesus' words to us, in his instructions to us. Do this in remembrance. But he also says in here, as he's thinking about instruction to us, as Paul gives his instruction, he says this, you dishonor the Lord when you partake in an unworthy manner. Warren Wiersbe says an unworthy manner could be not being prepared, properly prepared, or partaking carelessly. As the passage indicates, unworthy would be the fact that there's divisions among you, that people are getting drunk, that people are concerned so much about their own eating, they're placing others down here rather than elevating them and lifting them up. And he says with that, if you do it in an unworthy manner, you're going to experience the Lord's judgment. He says, some of you have done it and you understand, you could look around, you could say, oh my goodness. Some people are ill because they've taken the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Some people have even died because they took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. I think his judgment he speaks about here is his discipline. And though his discipline is not pleasant, this is true. It proves you're a part of his family. If he disciplines us, it tells us we are a part of his family. That's valuable. And that's important to learn from and to grow from. So we don't take it in an unworthy manner, what do we need to do? Examine ourselves. Take this seriously. Examine yourself. Where are you with Christ at this point in time? What is about it? And he says this. In the passage, he says, do that. Judge yourself so the Lord doesn't have to judge you. Be preemptive to that, right? Get ahead in the ball game here. Think about this is who I am, where I am. God, this is what's taking place in my life. And I don't have to experience your discipline. So therefore, I'm going to look at myself and examine myself so that I take it in a worthy manner and I don't experience your discipline that's before us. Let me kind of wrap it up here. The Lord's Supper is a time to honor the Lord, to honor his family, and to honor his instructions. The Lord's Supper is a time to honor the Lord, to honor his family, and to honor his instructions. So he says in verse 33 and 34, he says, when you come together, be respectful. Wait for one another. This isn't an all-you-can-eat buffet or an all-you-can-drink bar. He says, come prepared. Eat at home if you're hungry, so you'll not suffer the Lord's judgment. I read these words this past week from a man that Stan Kors recommended me. His name is Chuck Starr. He said this. He said, Jesus stood up for us so we could stand up for him. And I thought about those words. I thought, you know, that's what the Lord's Supper is. Lord's Supper is recognizing that Jesus stood up for us so that we could stand up for him. This is a chance for us to stand up, not literally, but to stand up for Jesus. And to say, I'm a part of your family. Thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. I am grateful to be a part of your family. I'm your child. Thank you for letting me be part of your family this day. So, to some practical things. First of all, the Lord's Supper is for believers. If you're not a believer today, I hope you'll become a believer in the next few moments. Come to know Jesus Christ. Admit to God that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and this is what he did for us. He died on the cross for us and rose again on the third day. And confess your faith in him. Commit your life to him. Say yes to him. But if you're not a believer, I would encourage you, don't take the Lord's Supper. It's all right. You won't be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ if you'll do it in knowing Jesus. So be a believer. Know a believer. Secondly, you know all these things. Don't take the Lord's Supper if you've got unconfessed sin. Examine yourself. Confess your sin before the Lord. Agree with him that was sin. Make it right so that relationship's got the fullness to it. Don't take the Lord's Supper if you're not in right relationship with believers. People that you got to struggle with. Somehow make it right. Get it together with them and somehow give forgiveness. Offer whatever you need to offer to them. Don't come unprepared or partake carelessly. I was thinking about how to illustrate this, you know, when we used to have the cups. It wasn't uncommon to hear 3 or 4 cups being broken during afterwards. I would say that's kind of taking the Lord's Supper carelessly. That's playing around with it. Honor God with that. The things that are there. And lastly, this. Celebrate! Celebrate! I know we usually it's somber, it's quiet, but we should celebrate what God has done for us and all that he has given to us in his life. Came across this verse, Lamentations 3:40. It says this, let us examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord. I'm going to ask you now, start thinking about examining. Because he tells us, examine yourself, and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So I'm going to ask Sarah, CJ, to come back up here. And as we examine, they're going to just play, and they're going to sing. And sing, oh, how deep the Father's love for us is. What a beautiful song to be able to reflect on what Jesus has done for us. So, in this moment, while they play, while they sing, and then when they finish, we'll partake together. But take this time to examine your heart, your life. Confess sin. Ask God to help you make things right with those that are around. And then in just a moment, we'll come back and we'll partake together.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to Thank you.
just sing that last two lines here with you, with CJ. It is just so powerful. You would, just those last two lines.
Just sing. This I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
One more time. Said, this is my body and it's given for you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all. Didn't leave anything out. We celebrate what you've done, and we do this in remembrance of you, and we proclaim your death until you come. This I know with all my heart. Your wounds have paid my ransom. We didn't deserve it, and yet you did it for us. And it cost you your blood, the shedding of your blood to bring forgiveness, to forgive those sins that we confessed to you just a moment ago as we examined our hearts. We do this in remembrance of you. And we proclaim your death until what? You come again. Let's drink together. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much you'd send your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much you would come willingly and that you would give your life and die, to give your body, shed your blood. And thank you, Spirit, even as Bill reminded us, the importance of the Spirit. Thank you, Spirit, for coming, taking Jesus' place, now ministering to us that we might abide with him. Thank you so much. We look forward to that day when you come for us. Thank you, we've been able to celebrate what you've done.